All right, so let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful piece today. We'll see, time permitting, we'll see exactly what we do. So take a look. This is in a section over here. Ma'alasime elo v'darchei atshuva. It says, skulas elo lasos mi'amakif and pnimim. We'll learn that, so let's skip to the major paragraph. Shlemos hadas he, who, kishinasa mi'amakif and pnimim. So we'll say, literally translated, Shlemos Hadas, completion of Das comes about when a person takes the Makifim. Now, Makifim is an interesting word from Lashon of Hakafa, which literally means like trickery or roundabout. Or roundabout, people take those roundabout things and internalize them. So what's the pshat? He says, Va'az nitzel mikol tzaros. That's ultimately when we are saved from all tzaros. What does that mean? L'mashal. Listen to this. If a person chas v'shalom is waiting for his friend to kill him. So let's say again, you know, Reuven is waiting to kill Shimon. So what happens? Azai sarich l'shanos hamalbushim. So Reuven is ready to kill Shimon. So remember, if Shimon wants to live, what does he have to do? He has to change his clothing. Meaning, what's the pshat? Meaning, because if Reuven recognizes Shimon, then Reuven's going to kill him. But if Shimon changes his clothing and he just looks a little bit different, so he'll be able to avoid detection by Reuven. He says, "Kidei shelo yakiru oso," in order that he doesn't recognize it. Kimo shekasov, mishane ponov v'tishal chehu. Ki al yidei shemishanin haponim al yidei levushin acherim. By going ahead and changing, literally upon him, the face, the externality through other clothing, niftar mimenu. Ultimately, he'll be able to escape. So we'll say, so again, and you're going to see, this is a real yesodistic idea. So writes the Rebbe like this, that if a person is in danger, Reuven's in danger because Shimon wants to kill him, so the only way that Reuven could avoid danger, to avoid detection, is by literally changing his clothing, by changing his appearance, and by looking like someone else. Remember, he's the same person, he's the same Reuven, or I should say the same Shimon on the inside, just on the outside he looks different. So look at the Rebbe writes, he says, V'chein be'ikir ha'adam, haynu ba'asechel, yesh b'chinos levushin, haynu ha'sechel ha'makif. So we'll say, says the Rebbe like this, this same Yesod is the ikir of tshuva. Right? So we'll say, the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, the greatest challenge when it comes to tshuva is what? Is what? The greatest challenge.
Admitting we're wrong.
First of all, admitting we're wrong. That's admitting it is incredibly difficult. So let's say even a person gets to the level where they say, I'm wrong. Okay? Now, what's the next challenge?
Being honest.
Sorry?
Being honest.
Being so honest with myself that I'm willing to admit that I have things I have to change. Asking for forgiveness.
Consistency in your change.
So I'll tell you what I think is the hardest part. It's like, where do I start? Now, I'll tell you, just like a personal admission, it was like an anxiety attack today. Not a little anxiety, but a spiritual anxiety attack. You know, we're 2.5 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. And you know how it is, like, after Tisha B'Av, you say to yourself, this year, Pashali, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be prepared this year. All right, I'm going to take a few weeks off. It's after Tisha B'Av. I have a little bit of time until Elul. It's no problem. I'm going to regroup. I'm going to relax a little bit. But then come Elul Mamish, like I'm going to hit the ground running. And then Elul comes, Rosh Chodesh comes as his Oros. But then, of course, again, like we have all these different responsibilities. And then it struck me today, it's 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks before the Yom Adin, 2 weeks before Kol Ba'ei Olam Ovim Lefanav Kibnei Maron, 2 weeks before the Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead and decides ultimately what our year is going to be like in the year to come. It's very overwhelming. And so the Shaila is, like, where do you start? Where do you start? Like, there's so much I want to work on, so much I want to do, so much I want to change, so much I want to better. So where should I even start? So the Rebbe says like this. He says, V'chim ve'ikra Adam, haynu ba'aseichal, Yesh bechunas levushin. So Rabbi will say, when it comes to a person, when it comes to the seichel, literally the intellect of man, or the feelings of man, there's a bechina, there's a state of levushin. Levushin literally means what? Clothing. So what does this mean? Haynu ha-seichel ha-makif. V'tzarech la'asos me'amakif penimi. So the Rebbe says, sometimes in life there are certain external things that begin as external things, and our job over time is to be able to internalize them. V'la'asos lo makifim achirim, haynu bechinas mabushim achirim. And sometimes I have to change my externalities in the same way that I have to change my clothing. We'll explain this in just a moment. And through this, I'm able to be saved from every enemy and mastin, a potential person who's able to harm me. Ki malbush b'gematria chashmal, o mechashmal baruchim kol hamashchisim. Right. Remember again, chashmal, a reference to the prophecies in Yechezkel, the also the Masa Merkava, where ultimately Hakadosh Baruch Hu ruchnius is considered to be this chashmal, this great light. So what is the Rebbe saying? Rebbe is saying something amazing. Let's go back again just for a moment. So Reuven wants to kill Shimon. If Shimon wants to avoid Reuven, so what does he have to do? He has to change his clothing. Change his clothing. So what is Shimon effectively done? He's changed his chitzonius, but his pnimius, his inside, ultimately is still the same. Says the Rebbe, do you know how change starts? And I will say, this is an incredible yisod. You see, sometimes we assume that change starts in here. But in fact, that's not the case. Change actually starts by changing my clothing. I see you say this, so what does it mean changing my clothing?
I want to wear white shirts.
I'm sorry?
I want to wear white shirts.
Oh, so Bar Shekivanta. Right, that's Rabbi Nachman's conveying over here. So he says very beautifully, he says the idea over here is that sometimes the pathway to change begins by changing the lavush of your life. In other words, we'll say, what does this mean? I'll give you just by way of example. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this as well. It's not often that we're going to get to quote the Rav and Rabbi Nachman together in the same shir. So the Rav said like this. I think I may have mentioned this. If I mentioned this, you could stop me. So the Gemara says that there are certain people who don't have a chilek in Olam Haba, right? And one of them is the Mesachik Bakuvio, professional gambler. Someone who spends his life gambling doesn't have a chilek in Olam Haba. Why not, says the Gemara? Because he does not contribute to Yeshuva Shalom. He doesn't contribute anything positive to the world. So says the Gemara, so how does the Mesachik Bekovia do tshuva? So what's the answer? How does he do tshuva? He goes ahead and he's shover. He has to go ahead and he has to break the dice. So what happens when he breaks the dice? Good to see you. So how does he have to go ahead? How does the Mesachik Bekovia, how does he do tshuva? So this is a very important thought. He says he has to break the dice. So asks the Rav, why does the Mesachik Bekovia have to break the dice? Why can't he just put the dice up on a very high shelf? Meaning go ahead and just put it out of reach, right? And that way I'm not going to have the dice. So first of all, the Rav gives a couple of answers. The first answer simply is that what? That as long as those dice are in existence, so your connection to that previous life is still there. And as long as your connection to that previous life is still there, then Lamai said, that's not called tshuva. If you want to do tshuva, then I have to break the bonds that bound me to that negative way of life, to those negative actions. But this, taking that a step further, what the Rav is saying is like this, is that those dice represent a lavush. Those dice represent my clothing of a former life. And until I go ahead and I change the lavush of my existence, the externalities of my life, then I can never hope to change the internality is the wrong word, but I can never hope to change the internal dynamics of who I am. We'll say, you hear this, chap? What are we going to say? What? Essence. So the truth is, if the yisod ultimately, you see, what's the greatest problem? If we're honest with ourselves, so why is it that we often don't change the way we want to or accomplish the things we want to? Because many of us live in a state of tovel b'sheretz b'yado. Right? So what's the pshat tovel b'sheretz b'yado? So you can imagine the scene, the person goes to the mikvah because they're tameh. Mamish, I'm going up and down 57 times, vidui, everything. I even crack the ice on the lake to go into it. Mamish, that's how much I want to go to the mikvah, purify myself. Only one problem. I'm holding a dead rodent in my hand. Top of a sheretz yada. So we'll say, we know the halacha is that you can go to the mikveh as many times as you want, but if that sheretz, if that rodent is in my hand, then what? I will never be able to become tahar. So the problem often in life with change is, I want to change. I really want to change. And I know what I have to change. My problem is, I'm not ready to change the lavush. I'm not really ready to change the external realities of my life. I want to change. I know I have to change. And I will say this, we all have this in some way or another. So sometimes I will say, you know, sometimes it is that we have certain peer groups that we're a part of that the truth is are not positive influences. And the truth is, I'll say to myself, but you know what, they're my friends. They've been my friends for who knows how long. Speaking of my friends, right? Shalom Aleichem, gentlemen. Right, so like, go ahead. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. They've gone ahead and... Mine is at the cleaners. Alright, so let's say, so what happens? Good evening, gentlemen. Shalom Aleichem. Don't be sorry. Chas v'shalom. So what happens? So a person. So just to reorient everyone. So Rabbi Nachman speaking about the dynamic of change and the difficulty of change. So he gave a very interesting mashal. He said, let's say Reuven wants to kill Shimon. So what happens if Reuven wants to kill Shimon? Now Shimon obviously is trying to avoid Reuven. So what does he do? He changes his clothing, changes his levush, so as to avoid detection by Reuven. Says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes the first step in the process of doing tshuva is changing our levush, changing our clothing. What does it mean to change levush? What does it mean to change your clothing? Your clothing represents your external circumstances. And sometimes the first step in change, in real profound life change, is to have the courage to change my external life circumstances. Because what ends up happening is very often in life, I want to change, I know what I have to change, but I'm unwilling, just like the gambler. Remember, what did we say? How does the gambler do tshuva? He has to break his dice. You know, if the gambler goes ahead and puts the dice in the break front, you know, what happens if he puts the dice in the break front? I don't gamble anymore, but he shows the kids, come here, let me show you what Tati used to do. Ah, the good old days, right? It was so wonderful. So first of all, again, he's still tethered to that past. If you don't make a break with the things that are negative influences in life, then you're always going to be tethered to that negativity, and you might go into the mikvah, but like we said before, it's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. You go in, but you're holding on to the dead rodent, you're holding on to the impurity, and if you don't make the break with the negative aspects of life, you can never become tzaddik. I'll say this, I think hands down, I don't know, maybe no one agrees, I find this is the greatest obstacle to tshuva, because you know what ends up happening? We have, like around this time of year, we have his Orus, an awakening. I know what I have to do. I even know how I have to do. I know what I have to change. And then I realize that what? That the changes that I have to make require like some significant lifestyle changes. That maybe it means I can't be friends with the same people. Maybe it means I can't engage in the same forms of recreation. Maybe it means I can't watch the same things that I like to watch. And suddenly I say to myself, I want to change, but wow, that's a big investment in change. I'm pretty sure I can be a good person without sacrificing all of those things. And what happens? I mean, no one here knows, but we've heard from other people, right? What happens? I'm in the same exact place a year from now. That's why it comes Elul. We kind of kick ourselves a little bit because you understand, like, how am I in the same place? How am I in the same exact place? Right? Maybe I learn a little more, I do a little more ches, I give a little more tzedakah. But the real fundamental things that I wanted to change, I haven't been able to do that. How did that happen? And the answer is, because we didn't change the levush. We didn't change the clothing. We didn't change the external circumstances. And until I'm willing to change the external circumstances, I can't really change the things I really want to in life. I can make tweaks. I can make minor adjustments. But until I'm willing to change the levush, the real external circumstances of my existence, true tshuva can't occur. Look what he writes. He says, "Vizeh oz v'hadar levusha v'tischak liyom acharon." This is so beautiful. He says, "This is the pshat in the pasuk in Mishlei. Oz v'hadar levusha, literally, strength and beauty is her clothing. V'tischak liyom acharon, she will rejoice on the last day." Look what he writes. Ayideh ha-levush, shehu b'chinas ha-chashmal, shehu levush oz v'hadar, levush chazak v'no'e, ayideh zeh, v'tischach liyom ha-chanova. So listen to how Rabbi Nachman understands this pasuk. Oz v'hadar levusha. You know how Rabbi Nachman explains this? How beautiful. If you have the ability to wear clothing of oz v'hadar, if you have the ability and the strength to wear clothing, ultimately again of strength, or perhaps state a little bit differently, if you have the strength to change your clothing and to change the things about your life that really need to be changed, then you know what? Vatischak liyom acharon. Vosa yom acharon refers to what? Refers to after 120. So after 120, I'll be able to laugh at that day. Why? Because I won't be scared to meet my Maker. See, Rabosai, I think I mentioned this last year. You know, after 120, so what gives us anxiety, right? We're going to come up, we're going to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what question are we scared of most? What? I'm sorry? Right, you see, we're not really scared that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask us, you know, why did you sin? Because the truth is, we have an easy answer. What's the easy answer for that?
Everybody
does, right? That might not be the strongest answer, right? But there's even a better answer than that. The better answer is, you created me as a human being. And as a human being, I have inherent frailties and weaknesses. So, you know, if you wanted me to be perfect, you should have created me as a malach, not as a human being. If you created me as a human being, it means that by definition, there is a margin of error in my life. Okay, so maybe I sinned a bit too much. Okay, you know what? That I could... But I will say, it's the famous Mesa that Rabbi Zushav Anipoli. Rabbi Zushav Anipoli said that after 120, when I face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not worried that he's going to say to me, Zusha, why weren't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? Instead, I'm afraid that he's going to say, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? So I will say, the greatest fear, and really it's something that should be a constant fear, like, after 120, we go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what he's going to do? Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine the Baal Shalom takes you into his study? And he says, you see that bookcase? You see those Sfarim there? You say, wow, you know, I never heard of that set of Sfarim. Who wrote it? And then Baal Shalom says, could have been you. It could have been you. Or when he takes you again to the Hall of Chesed, and you see a whole mamish, you know, break front filled with Chasadim, say, wow, who is the tzaddik who generated all that Chesed? And Baal Shalom says, could have been you. That's overwhelming. And you know what the crazy part about that is? That when the Ribbono Shel Olam shows that to me, and he shows me all of the Svarim that I could have written, all of the Chasadim that I could have done, all the mitzvahs I could have done, the truth is, I can't go back and change that. Meaning that's the reality for all eternity. So Rabbi Nachman says over here, that's the Pshat. Oz Vahadar Levusha. Two meanings. Those who have the strength and the glory to change their clothing, to change their external circumstances, and ultimately, again, wear the right kind of clothing, structure for myself the right kind of life, then you know what happens? Batischak liyom acharon. I'll be confident after 120 to meet my Maker, because I know that I've done what I needed to do to structure a successful life. He goes on, he says, Ve'ikr hazman, listen to this, Ve'ikr hazman lazeh, hu chodesh shalosh. So both say, Yehud Rabbi Nachman is saying, Rabbi Nachman is saying is, the truth is, if I'm fixated on sin, just avoiding sin, I miss the boat a little bit. Because it's important to understand that sin doesn't just happen by itself. It's not the pshat that suddenly, you ever try this for a moment? You ever like make a very big mistake in life? I mean just like, I don't mean like, don't tell me. It's not a confession. But you ever make a big mistake and you go back and you ask yourself, like, how did I get myself in this situation? And it's an interesting life exercise. Like, let's say you lose your temper at someone. You just fly off the handle. And you realize it was wrong. And then you say, you know, let me trace my steps back. Like, how did this happen? It's a fascinating exercise because what you begin to see is that no action exists in a vacuum. Every action is a result. Every result comes about as a byproduct of a series of smaller actions. So if I fly off the handle, I get angry at someone, and it was totally unwarranted, totally undeserved. If I trace back, I can see the small triggers to that event. Rabbi Nachman is saying those small triggers, that's the levush. That's the external circumstance. So for example, if I struggle with anger, so it's not going to be enough to say, don't get angry. I have to figure out, like, what are the factors that lead me to get angry, and how can I kind of head them off at the pass? A person struggles with, when you fill in the blank, whatever it is, whatever you struggle with, just know that those failures that come about don't just happen out of nowhere. They're a result of a series of smaller actions. That's those smaller actions, that lifestyle, that's called the levush. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, if I just try, if I just say I'm going to not get angry, I'm going to be honest in business, I'm going to be a moral person, that's not enough. If I have lapses in these areas, I have to figure out what are the small pieces that combine to form the negative result, and how do I head off those small pieces? How do I change the levush? And Rabbi Nachman says, when is the time that's right for this? Chodesh Elul. Listen to this, how beautiful this is. Get ready. Vizeh levusha vatischak liyom acharon. And if you notice, what does that spell? Working backwards. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, El. What's the time of year where it's appropriate to address thinking about changing your wardrobe, thinking about changing your clothing, thinking about not just addressing negative behaviors, but somehow addressing the fundamental aspects of my life? When is the time to do that? Rashi Tevos El. That's El. And I will say again, I think this is an incredible, incredible yisod. Because too often, we become focused on the negative actions and try to stamp them out without trying to identify the root causes. And if you don't identify the root causes, you'll never be able to address the problem in a systemic fashion. You might be able to avoid the problem here and there, but you'll never be able to really head it off at the pass. That's Chodesh Elul, a time to examine our clothing, and if need be, a time to change our clothing. And here's the amazing...
Can you give us a mashal?
I'm sorry?
Can you give us a mashal, like a live mashal?
I'll give you a simple mashal.
Working your heart tonight,
I'm sorry?
Working
seriously, it's like today. Past nine, I can't do more shalom past nine. So I'll give you a simple mashal. So let's say... Oh, it's just a simple, this is an exaggerated mashal, but it's just a simple one. Let's say a person has a problem, not even talking about Yiddishkeit right now, a person has a problem with alcohol. A person drinks too much, okay? So if a person just says, I'm sorry.
You're
a bad example. Give me one second. Okay, so a person goes ahead, and no, this is a simple one, but again, it gets the point across. Person has a problem with alcohol. So a person says, you know what, my new Kabbalah is, I'm not drinking anymore. Okay, says, I'm not drinking. But you know what? My best friends go out to bars, which we'll say is problematic by itself. We'll save that for a different shiur, not for Elul, because it's so pashut, kishemesh, but tzarayim. But we'll leave that for a different time. So what happens? But my friends go to bars, but it's okay. I'm just going to get a soda. So what happens? What is the person doing? They're trying to address the problem they have, but they're unwilling to change the lavush. Because the problem is, if I struggle with alcohol, it's not just enough to say that I'm not going to drink anymore, but I have to make sure that I don't put myself in circumstances where that resolve is going to be attacked and bombarded. If a person has a problem, again, there's so many examples. Person has a problem, which is an incredible nisayon for our derech shmiras ha'inayim, of looking at inappropriate things. So if a person says, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and have unrestricted use or whatever, just use the internet for whatever, without taking certain gedarim to protect themselves, then what's going to happen? But I'm not going to look at anything inappropriate. So first of all, it's an exercise in futility because a person will fail. Just like the alcoholic who refuses to stop going to bars because his friends go to bars will fail as well. So Rabbi Nachman would say is, okay, if I'm the alcoholic and I want to go ahead and I need to stop drinking, I'm going to have to realize that as difficult as it is, I can't go with those friends to the bar. It's not the place for me. And it could very well be that those people maybe are not the right friends for me, for whatever the reason. So that's the example of changing the lavush. So again, the person who says, I'm just going to stop drinking, but I'm not willing to change anything else in my lifestyle, we know where he's going to be, right? He's going to be right back to square one in just a little bit of time. If he really wants to change, if he wants to address the problem, he's got to change lavush, he's got to change lives. In other words, you could use the word, what Rabbi Nachman calls lavush, we would call lifestyle. That if I really want to change negative behaviors, it's not enough just to address the behavior. I have to address the lifestyle that allows for the behavior to occur. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's an incredible use. And I think, by the way, I think we'd all agree, this is the hardest part of change. Because the truth is, there are certain things I know I need to stop. But once I realize again that real tshuva requires like a real adjustment of my life. So suddenly again, it's not so pashut. And often what we do is we kind of just rationalize things with ourselves. I don't have to change. I can keep my same lifestyle, but I'll just be stronger in these areas. And again, maybe for some people it works. It could be that there are some individuals who are exceptionally strong. But for most people, unless you change your levush, unless you change the lifestyle, you'll be back to square one with all of the negative behaviors. Asusia, correct? Correct. Correct. Maybe that's the idea of the protective fence, right? Enachinami. Right? A gather.
So Nachman is assuming here, I'm seeing, he's assuming the first step is you make makita, right? The first step is to set that up.
The first step is, it's interesting, Rabbi Nachman says, there's no point in addressing the behaviors if you're not first willing to address the clothing. So if you're not willing to set up the gather, the protective fence, if you're not willing to contemplate changing your lifestyle, then to try to change the behavior is going to be an exercise in futility. Yeah, so his whole chap is...
Even when that's not that sincere, obviously, you're not addressing the...
Correct. Correct. And that's why his mashal is so profound, because what does he say? You know, Reuben wants to kill Shimon. And so what happens? Shimon changes his clothing. Now, why is Shimon changing his clothing? Only because he wants to avoid Reuben. So the nimshal, of course, is, I have certain negative things in life that I want to avoid. The truth is, internally, I haven't yet changed. But I know, and I will say, sometimes it's hard to regulate how I feel on the inside, but the amazing part is I absolutely can regulate my external circumstances. So Rabbi Nachman is suggesting, it's a little bit of a different approach, that the first step to tshuva does not really begin internally, but rather, again, it begins externally. It begins by identifying those negative influences in my life, somehow addressing them, and almost creating for myself the safe space, the spiritually nurturing space, to be able to create change. It's an incredible, incredible yisod. I know just because it's late, people aren't falling off the chairs, but mamish, like, it's an incredible, incredible yisod. And this, I think, is the hardest part of tshuva. All right, let me just, I'll show you, we'll start one other piece. We have a few minutes. So we'll start just on one other piece. Yimei elu umilas halefa ara. So we'll begin this tonight, but Emir HaShem will continue this next week. Im yiske sheyargish be'emes keiv chatal. So we'll say, now, what Rabbi Nachman writes over here is also an interesting idea, which in general is a fascinating dispute in the realm of tshuva, which is, you know, there are two, let me give you an example. In the Musar world, so there are two different approaches in Musar. There's what's called Shiflus HaAdam and Gadlus HaAdam. So Shiflus HaAdam means a focus on I'm nothing. I'm so nothing that I'm not even nothing, right? I'm not even dirt. I'm so low. I'm so insignificant. That's Shiflus HaAdam. And if I'm so insignificant, how could I dare do anything that is against the Ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's another school of thought that says Gadlus HaAdam. Gadlus HaAdam says, I'm so great and I have so much potential. And if I have so much potential, how could I possibly squander it doing negative things? So which mahalich, which approach is right? So the truth is, they're both right, although it's interesting to see that, Slabatka won out, right? It's interesting to note, by the way, I just want to tell you, that for example, after the Holocaust, you know, when much of European Jewry was decimated, so it's interesting that the world of Shiflus HaAdam, of Narvaduk, and other places like that, that stressed the real lowliness of man, did not really gain the same type of momentum. Which is interesting, which makes a lot of sense psychologically, because there's only so long a person could be told that they're nothing and still strive to become a something. See what happens? After enough time of being called a nothing, what happens? You begin to feel like a nothing. Now, if I'm a nothing, that means there are no expectations. If there are no expectations, I can do whatever I want. And if I fail, it's not a big deal because I'm just affirming that which I already know, namely, that I'm a nothing. I'll say, by the way, you should just know, it's an incredible, important idea in parenting as well. That's why, again, it's so important that even when our children do things that we get really upset at and that are really wrong, so the way ultimately to give rebuke and to give musar to your children is never chas v'shalom by putting them down. It's always by building them up. And the amazing thing is you could give rebuke to a child while still bringing them up. The truth is, you know, we've all received rebuke like this at some time in life, maybe from a spouse, maybe from a parent. You know, the rebuke that goes, I expected so much more of you. And when somebody says that to you, when somebody says, I expected so much more from you, the truth is that hurts even worse than when someone tells you how terrible you are. If somebody tells me how terrible I am, okay, you know, we all live with feelings of insecurity, so all right, I know there's a part of me that feels that I'm terrible. But when somebody says, oh, I thought so much of you, and I expected so much of you, and you let me down so badly, Pasha, that's like a dagger in the heart. It's like a dagger in the heart. So that, now you have to be careful how you use that with children also, right? Because your goal is not to chasham give your child a dagger in the heart. But the idea what that says is, I'm disappointed in you because you didn't live up to your potential. Because you could have accomplished so much. So this is an important yisod. And one of the things that Hasidus stresses, you know, first of all, you know, this was the difference between Moshe and Aaron. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was like a give it to you between the eyes kind of guy. If you stepped out of line, he was going to tell you how wrong you are. What was Aaron HaKohen's approach? Aaron HaKohen's approach was, you know, like the bubble approach. Oh, I love you. You're so wonderful. You're so sweet. And when Aaron would tell you how proud he was of you, you would think to yourself, oh my gosh, if Aaron HaKohen only knew what I really did, how different he would think about me. But again, that would push me to become more. It's interesting, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down, he says, that's the chilek, and this is actually very interesting, maybe we'll do this instead of this next piece for tonight. He says, but that's the chilek between a mother and a father. He says, a father is Moshe Rabbeinu. A mother is Aaron HaKohen. What's the pshat? Why do fathers love their children? At the end of the day, paternal love is predicated on what? We're amongst friends here. Right? If my kid lives up to my expectations. There is no question that paternal love, I love my kid no matter what they do, but the truth is, if my child doesn't accomplish what it is that I really want them to accomplish, paternal love is often not complete. It's not that paternal love is based on my child accomplishing certain things, but the way a father shows love is that a father shows love very often based on the child's accomplishment. Mothers, on the other hand, have what kind of love? Unconditional, right? The kid could be the greatest shemendrik in the world. And Amish, but to the mother, still my little tzaddik, right? Still my little tzaddik. As I, but the kid's not. The kid's pashat like rotten. It doesn't matter. You know what? To a mother, a child is always beautiful. A child is always wonderful. And the truth is, a mother's love is unconditional. So it's interesting that we have that dichotomy, often just within the familial structure. Father Moshe Rabbeinu, I love you, but you better perform. I love you, but you better pull your weight. A mother's love, whatever you do is wonderful. Whatever you do is fantastic. I love you no matter what. So why am I telling you all of this? Because in Hasidus, one of the things that Hasidus brought to the table, and we'll see this more next week in Rabbi Nachman's next piece, but one of the things that Hasidus brought to the table was this notion of a loving God who is more like a mother than like a father, who loves you even if you fail, who loves you even if you fall, who loves you no matter what you do and what you don't do, and just wants you to actualize your potential. In fact, I'll tell you something fascinating. Just let me show you how this comes up. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev says, he writes that there's a mitzvah of V'yareisem Elokim, Tefir HaKadosh. So we translate it, Yiras Hashem, as fear. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, Yira doesn't mean fear. Why can't Yira mean fear? Listen to this incredible yisod. He says, when you fear something, so what's your relationship to that item?
Distance,
right? So if I'm afraid of fire, I have an inherent fear of fire, fire is going to be over here, I'm going to take a step away. So Rav Levi Yitzchok says, it can't be that Yiras Hashem means to fear God, because then that by definition places a distance between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, says Rabbi Yitzchok, Yiras Hashem means awe or reverence of God. If I revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means I have an incredible desire to be close to Him, to be next to Him. I'm not afraid that He's going to punch me. I'm not afraid that He's going to hurt me. There's a little bit of a distance because He's so great and He's up on a pedestal, but I still have that incredibly loving relationship. So therefore, we're going to see that Rabbi Nachman next week is going to speak about it. You can even just look at that first line. He says, Miske sheyargish be'emes ke'ev chata'ov. We're going to discuss that after a person is able to change the lavush, because remember what we learned tonight is that in order to really avoid sin, it's not just enough to avoid sinful activity, but I have to change the circumstances of my life. You know what the next step after that is? That I'm going to feel the true pain of sin. But the pain that he's referring to is not the pain of punishment. The pain that he's referring to is the pain of missed opportunities, the pain of failing to actualize my potential, the pain that my God loves me so much, gives me so much, wants me to be successful, and for some reason I've been unable to seize all of my opportunities. So we'll stop over here for tonight, but Amir Tasham, next week we'll pick up with that game. But I will say, you know, I think one of the things we have to make sure to take from this shiur is whatever we learn on a Thursday night, I would just suggest that it becomes our avoda, becomes really like our mission for the coming week. So your mission, you know, whether or not you choose to accept, it's still mamish your mission. It is that lemaisa, we have to identify the clothing we wear. We have to see, are we wearing the right kind of clothing? Or is the clothing we're wearing, you know, a little bit outdated? You're definitely wearing the right clothing, right? Are we wearing the right clothing? Is it a little bit outdated, right? Have we outgrown it? Is it two sizes too big, two sizes too small? And maybe it's just not, you know, we'll say it's like, you know, if you're going for a job interview and you wear like a hot pink shirt, you know, mamish, like chances are, let me see differently. You know, if you want to go work in an investment bank, I'm assuming, right? And you're wearing a hot pink, chances are you're probably not going to get the job because again, your clothing have to match your circumstances. And sometimes the maisa, my clothing is very nice, but the clothing that I'm wearing is not going to get me where I want to go. And so I think our avodah this week is to identify the clothing we wear, to identify the circumstances in which we live, and to ask ourselves, is this clothing really going to get me where I want to go in life? Will it help me accomplish the things that I want to do or not? And if the answer is yes, great. Then figure out how to buy a couple of more of the same shirts, a couple of more of the same pants, because you're doing the right thing. But if the answer is no, then I have to figure out how to swap out that old wardrobe for something new and set myself up for spiritual success. All right, so we'll stop over here. I'll pick up here in session next week. Yeah. 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 Yeah